Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything when it's game time. Have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
Well, congratulations, Lakers. Instead of talking about the Warriors' remarkable comeback in the third quarter against the Trailblazers, take a commanding 3-0 lead. Instead of talking about Toronto's resilience and finding a way to beat the Bucks to get on the board and now trail 2-1 in their best of 7 Eastern Conference Finals, instead of caring about the actual games or even caring about Frank Vogel, the guy who was hired today, instead we're talking about the Lakers. That's because Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka both spoke essentially to the media today. Magic Johnson, surprise interview with First Take. And then Rob Pelinka was introducing Frank Vogel, who people asked a couple of uncomfortable questions to. If you missed the blow-by-blow, here's Magic Johnson on why he chose to leave the Lakers.
People around the Laker office was telling me Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on. So I started getting calls from my friends outside of basketball saying those things now were said to them outside of basketball. Now, not just in the Laker office anymore. Mm-hmm. Now it's in the media and so on.
And these are people you trust.
Exactly. And people got to remember something. Being in this business for over 40 years, I got allies, I got friends everywhere.
This is Rob Pelinka's response to the betrayal remarks.
I think the most important thing for me is the 2 years of getting to work side by side with Irvin are some of the greatest memories I have in sports and work. He's an unbelievable person to work with. He fills the room with joy and vision. And truly, it's saddening and disheartening to think he believes things that are a misperception.
Here's Magic on how the Lakers and Jeannie Buss made decisions.
It's too many people at the table. Mm-hmm. And so what happens, everybody gets to share their opinion, and it's so much information coming at her that then when I say, hey, we have to do this, she can't make a decision because they said, no, don't go the way Magic go. You should go
other
left.
Other people already
of
got
right.
to her,
exactly.
And I'm back of her mind,
yeah. So her love for those people and respect for those people often caused us to not make the right choice, or there's no decision, Max. And so I said, listen, you can't run a corporation like this. You can't have everybody think that they can have a voice.
Here's Rob Pelinka on how they'll go forward without Magic.
Jeannie's vision for the front office is a couple years ago, she created a position that didn't exist prior to Irvin coming on board, a president of basketball operations. And she is going to eliminate that position because it was created entirely for Magic. No one can really replace what he does. So that would be that.
You want my summation? Everything you heard is everything you think you heard. Magic didn't really show up at work. Told him, I'm going to be in and out. I got a bunch of stuff going on. Pelinka probably talked a little ish on him and said, hey, that dude, never at work, wants to make all the decisions, doesn't actually do the work, so he can back up why he makes those decisions. And Jeannie Buss is completely in over her head, so much so that she's just reaching out to people who she feels like she knows, who she can trust to help her sort through what is the bull you know what and what is reality. That's it. That's what's really happening. Like, again, I love Magic as a player. Tell me the thing he's had to invest his time and his energy in that he's invested his time and his energy other than showing up and being Magic. And this idea that, well, you know, you got to take Magic's word for it because he has this vision of what a player is. He didn't as a coach. He hasn't as an analyst, either time NBC or ESPN. And the biggest reason isn't because he's a dope. He's not. It's just because he's just not that into it. Like, look, Magic Johnson spends 5 weeks a year on a yacht in Europe. This is public information. He and his wife, they have a yacht. And they travel around Europe and do everything you've ever dreamed of doing. And have dinner with everyone you've ever dreamed of having dinner with. Why? Because he's Magic Johnson. So, do I buy that he didn't work that hard? Yeah, of course. Do I buy that it probably bothered Rob Pelinka that he's doing all this grunt work and that Magic Johnson does all the press conferences, claims all responsibility, takes none of the blame because he's Magic? Sure. Do I think it got back to Magic? Yeah. By the way, if Magic was a super loyal Laker, then he wouldn't have done that interview. If it wasn't about Magic Johnson and saving Magic Johnson's name. Whereas, think what you want about the reputation of Pelinka, but Pelinka answered the questions and took the high road. He just did. He didn't throw Magic under the bus. He could have. You know why Magic heard those things? Because it was true. Right? Yeah, I said all of that stuff. The best part about it is, the newest L.A. story is, well, you know, supposedly Magic was blind CC'd on some emails. And they're like, that's not actually true because Magic's not a big email guy. That pretty much sums it all up, right? You're a president of basketball operations and I'm not really an email guy. What's this whole computer? What's your sign-in, Magic? What's a sign-in? Right? But you can't have Magic Johnson, who's been told his you-know-what doesn't stink for 40 years in the city, you know, who had a relationship with the late owner because they go out together. That was the whole Jerry Buss thing. Jerry Buss was a playboy, and Magic Johnson was a playboy, and they used to go out together in L.A., and you had the biggest star and the owner hanging out together. That was the root of their relationship. You can't go from that place to, hey, Magic, we really need you in for the 9 o'clock meeting every Monday morning. Magic Johnson. So I'd love to tell you that there's more at play here. That Pelinka's evil and Magic's great. Or Magic's evil and Pelinka's great. Or there's something, like, not really. And this, by the way, is why you got to be very careful in hiring a Magic Johnson. Because it's not about hiring him. It's about what happens when you fire him or when he fires himself. Right? In an effort to prove that he had a better work ethic than was being perceived, Magic Johnson told the world, in his own words, the reason he was quitting was it wasn't fun anymore. He couldn't tweet about other players because the Lakers would get fined. These are things that he said. Nobody made him say. So do I think what Magic is saying is accurate? Yeah. I'm sure he's got tons of friends who heard Rob Pelinka talk a lot of trash. That doesn't make the trash not true. It doesn't make Rob Pelinka look any better for talking that trash, but you can understand the frustration. Anyone's ever done group work? You ever done group work at college? All right, what's the worst thing in the world? When you show up for presentation day and there's the one, usually the young girl, the woman who did, she's like, well, I knew you weren't showing up. So here's the notes on the presentation and here's the graph you were supposed to do. And I did it for you. Right? That's how Rob Pelinka thinks. He's like, wait, what? So, you know, I mean, his defense for the Zubac trade, where they wanted to make a trade with the LA Clippers to get a stretch five, and the Clippers didn't even think Zubac was available because he's 21, making nothing his money, and he was a starter, a starting caliber player. His defense for giving away Zubac, who the Clippers didn't even ask for, was, well, you know, he didn't even play in the playoffs. Yeah, that's kind of beside the point, dude. Magic appeared as aloof as ever because he's Magic Johnson. Rob Pelinka appeared to take the high road. And Jeannie Buss is exactly what you thought she was. She's a woman who has a good business acumen, who has no idea who to trust or what to believe or what to do in running the Lakers. And so she does what we all do. She trusts her inner circle, people she's known the longest. And therein lies the Lakers' dysfunction. Remember, the word fun is interlaced in dysfunction. It's not fun to live it, to work in it. Hell of a lot of fun to cover, I'll tell you that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike Florio has a story out. It says Jets CEO and Chairman Christopher Johnson wants a great strategic thinker to run the football operations. He needs someone who can work with Coach Adam Gase. And one name has come up, Peyton Manning. Rumors are flying within the league circles that the Jets may make a run at the future Hall of Fame quarterback, who periodically has been linked to NFL management possibilities. I see it. I think it happens. I think it should happen. I think it'd be great. Everyone we've ever talked to in regards to Peyton Manning says he doesn't want to be a broadcaster. He wants to run a football team. Frankly, I think he wants to own a football team, and people thought he could buy the Tennessee Titans at some point. But with the ties to New York, with that sort of market, and his ties to Adam Gase, and he didn't just play for Adam Gase and have great success late in his career with Adam Gase as his offensive coordinator. So I got a chance to do sideline for Fox last football season. The game I did was the Bears against the Dolphins. That's when Brock Osweiler was a surprise starter. You know who's in attendance? Peyton Manning, the sheriff, as he's known. And look, he wasn't close with Brock Osweiler. They were not friends. They'd worked together, but they were not boys. He's close with Adam Gase. And Gase is the interim GM and has to find somebody he wants to work with. And this makes total sense to me. And to someone who says, well, you know, what about Darnold? This would say he believes in Darnold. This would give him unlimited possibilities in terms of what he could do, what he would want to do with that roster. Granted, you do have some issues there in terms of the roster depth and no center, no wide receivers to speak of. You have a running back making a little bit too much money, but you have a quarterback under club control, and you might have had the best guy in the draft over each of the last 3 years. There's some good things there. And as much as today we're pointing out that Magic Johnson didn't work hard enough to be a good president of basketball operations with the LA Lakers, that's not who Peyton Manning is. Like, Peyton Manning he's a workaholic. Like, was he born tall enough and did he have a good arm? Like, yeah. But he had to overcome a lack of arm strength, a lack of mobility, and be a football genius in order to become one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, Peyton Manning was infamous for not letting backups take reps in practice, let alone waving off the punt team when he wants to be in charge. He wants the ball. He wants to do the research. Like, he wants this thing. He's not Magic Johnson with Cookie taking 5 weeks and going into the Mediterranean on a yacht. You can't get a hold of me. Receiving no compensation in return in the 2 years since he's been retired, he's traveled to most every training camp just to learn and absorb. Still has his family's football camp. Oh, yeah, by the way, I think isn't that his son who's playing quarterback now in high school? Or no, one of their sons is now playing quarterback, Arch. Playing quarterback in high school. So, you sit there and you're like, what are we doing here? Arch is the son of Cooper. Okay. Cooper's the funny one. Peyton's the good one. And Eli's the little brother, who just happens to have 2 Super Bowl rings in the biggest media market. And among the things that the Manning family likes They love the media market. They love, the media's been really good to them, and they've been really good to the media. And being in New York would make a ton of sense. Ton of sense. I hope it happens. I think it'd be a great move for the Jets. I think it would work. And I think it would, it'd be all that he ever wants. The only question would be, would Peyton ever be able to get ownership, which is what I've, what everyone's always thought that he wanted. He wants to own a piece. But they, look, there's just different types of stars. Magic was a superstar. Magic was a, had a brilliant vision for how to play basketball, but he was more like an artist. Whereas Peyton Manning was more like a nerd who found ways he could read a could sit there and process and read a defense and throw the ball at the exact right spot at the exact right time, based upon the wind, the pitch of the field, how his arm felt, all of these things. Like, he was a perfectionist, but based upon levels of preparation. Right. Magic's whole thing was, I'm Magic Johnson. No explanation. Whereas Peyton Manning's whole... by the way, Magic Johnson was famous. One of the reasons that Pat Riley supposedly never won a championship with the Knicks or with the Heat was because he famously practiced too long and too hard. Magic Johnson was the guy who supposedly was the one guy able to tell Pat Riley, we ain't practicing anymore. Look, he could just show up and do it. He just figured out a way to get it done. He had feel. He didn't need to prep. That's not who Peyton Manning was. Matter of fact, one of the reasons Peyton Manning struggled in the playoffs was because at some level, when you get into the playoffs, you can't prep for stuff. You just got to make plays on your own, which is why Magic was so great in impromptu situations. When you just got to roll with it. But in the role of president of football operations, running a football team, evaluating your team's talent, the rest of the league's talent, trying to be ahead of the curve in the type of personnel you get, and evaluating college talent, I think it's a home run. Because that's all he's ever done and all he's ever wanted.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Bill Orem covers the Lakers for The Athletic. Bill, how would you describe today in Lakerland?
Surreal, like most days in Lakersland lately. It's surreal to see, you know, obviously today was going to be a big day, like you said. We haven't heard from Rob Pelinka or anyone in Lakers management, for that matter, since Magic Johnson stepped down. And so today was going to be the day that we were going to get some answers. Well, we got answers, all right, but we got them from Magic at, what, 6 a.m. Pacific time? I mean, it was a, that was a heck of a thing to wake up to hear going off the cuff and basically confirming all the whispers that have been out there about Rob Pelinka, at least from his standpoint. And I think what was interesting about it is, obviously, those whispers had been out there, and obviously Rob Pelinka's reputation precedes him, but it's all, up to this point, kind of always been in the shadows, and it's unacknowledged, and it's not something that anybody's, like, come out and actually said publicly. For Magic Johnson to call Rob Pelinka a backstabber on national television and say that was a big part of the reason that he stepped down and that there wasn't a trust with leadership for him to be able to make decisions and fire the coach when he wanted to and all that. I mean, we knew this was dysfunctional. We knew there was disarray. But to then have Magic come out and say, yeah, everything you guys have been saying has been completely right, was mind-bending. And then, of course, you then have Frank Vogel and Rob Pelinka, you know, stride out and want to talk about how great Frank Vogel is. And he may very well be great. He may end up being a great coach for the Lakers, but it wasn't really fair to him to put him through the press conference that he had today, where, you know, they're trying to talk about Frank Vogel, what he's going to do for these young players and LeBron James, and then have Rob Pelinka finally sit there and answer questions that we've been waiting to ask for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Now that part was, had to be weird. There's a lot here kind of to unpack. Bill Orem joining us, covers the Lakers for The Athletic. If I were to say, and I started the show saying, like, here's the basic rundown. Magic didn't work hard, was busy being Magic Johnson, and thought that was going to be kind of enough, and everybody knew he was going to be mad, but wanted to make decisions at the end. Pelinka got ticked because he's like, this dude's never around, and he's talking about stuff. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he's not doing the work. And that got out, and that led to the dysfunction. And then you got, you know, Jeannie Buss, who's in massively over her head, but instead of getting basketball people. She doesn't actually trust the basketball people because she doesn't know what's what. So she falls back on the people she's worked with hand in hand the most for the last 10 to 15 years. And those are the other people that have spots at the table that rub magic the wrong way. Right? That kind of appears to be all on the up and up. No?
Yeah, I think you pretty much got it. I mean, and the thing that to your point is, yes, this was a Magic versus Pelinka day, but man, Jeannie Buss created this two and a half years ago when she did the necessary thing, cleaned house in the front office, tried to start over, and like you said, had an opportunity to go out and find like great basketball people who have done this and succeeded elsewhere. And I keep coming back to this, and I'm sure people are tired of me saying it, but that was kind of the critical moment for the Lakers to get it right. And instead, she leaned on familiar people, people who were comfortable to her. And this is what you get. You hire an inexperienced president of basketball operations, give him the biggest possible job. You give him the keys to the car when he is already driving a lot of other cars simultaneously. And of course it goes off the tracks. But to Jeannie Buss, this is what you get.
Yeah, this is what you get. But Magic did this to save Magic Johnson, to supposedly save face with Magic Johnson, right? Like, this whole idea of him being a loyal Laker is total. If that's what a loyal Laker is, I'd hate to see what a disloyal Laker is.
Yeah, I mean, look, Magic definitely is putting Magic ahead of the Lakers here. And you know, I think you're spot on. I mean, obviously, if his goal was what was good for the Lakers, he would swallow his pride here and let everyone else do the talking. And you know, the way he went out, I kind of did that, right? Like, I love the Lakers. The Lakers are going to be just fine. I got them to this place. Not going to say anything about Rob Pelinka, but everything's great. You know, wouldn't answer the question about Rob Pelinka the night he quit. If he left it there, you know, then it's kind of just a question. Well, that was weird. But now he's come out and basically confirmed everyone's worst fears, which is totally destabilizing to the Lakers, who, if anything, need some stabilization at this point. Yeah. And instead, Magic Johnson, you know, comes out, you know, clears the air from his standpoint, but it only makes the Lakers look worse as they are going into, again, I mean, every summer feels like the biggest summer ever for the Lakers, but here they are with a 35-year-old LeBron James and no real traction moving forward. It's the biggest summer ever, and now you have Magic Johnson, arguably the greatest Laker of all time, telling you the people who are running the thing are bozos. So, enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah. Does feel that there's also one other element which hasn't been brought up, which I thought, you know, Pelinka is Kobe's guy. There's a little of Magic versus Kobe here too.
There definitely is. That's absolutely there as a subplot. Listen, I know Kobe operates in the shadows and has Granity Studios and the Punies and you know whatever his other projects are. The Lakers are still one of his projects. He is still very much a factor here. The relationship he has with Rob Pelinka, they consider each other best friends. Jeannie considers Kobe, a son figure, a best friend as well. She leaned very heavily on him when the time came to fire Mitch and Jim 2 years ago and to hire Magic Johnson. So he's still a factor here. And when it comes down to, you know, which Laker great do you want in your corner going forward, it certainly does seem like there was only room for one.
And in an effort to point the fingers elsewhere, I think Magic told us all we actually needed to know. I'd be in and out. I'd be in and out. I'd be in and out. Bill Oram joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Okay, now here's the big question. I know LeBron was there, curiously kind of shooting around in the ever so LeBron James like, I don't want attention, but I kind of want attention, but I'm not going to answer questions. What does LeBron think of the Frank Vogel hire?
We'd love to know. I mean, this guy's incredible. I mean, we have not heard from LeBron since he shut it down for the season. Didn't do an exit interview, not through any fault of his own, really. Obviously, Magic Johnson upstaged him, and his exit interview that night of the last game was canceled. But we haven't heard from LeBron, other than, you know, cryptic or not so cryptic Instagram posts saying that he's not at odds with the organization. But obviously, what he said on his show on HBO a couple weeks ago made it clear that there were some hurt feelings. And this is your most important asset. This is the most important piece of the organization right now, and you don't only want to make him happy, but you want to make him feel empowered and committed and bought in, and that there is again traction moving forward. And I don't think the Frank Vogel hire happens without some level of approval. But at the same time, we know who his guy was in this process. We know who LeBron expected to be coaching him next season, and it was Ty Lue. And Frank Vogel was probably going to be part of that as an assistant, or have some, there was definitely movement in that direction. But for LeBron's guy to basically look at the Lakers and say, "No, I don't want any of that. You guys are too disrespectful, too nuts." Has to color the way LeBron looks at this team and this organization. You know, he kind of dipped his toe in today, like you said, by coming to Frank Vogel's introductory press conference. But there was no walking past the media and giving a thumbs up and saying that he loved Frank. He didn't stop by and give Frank Vogel a hug that we saw, at least. So if that question is going to linger until we hear from LeBron, or LeBron comes out and says something. But you go back to last year, LeBron refused to give Luke Walton that vote of confidence that everyone was looking for all season long. He kept saying, early in training camp, when it was, "What's your relationship with Luke Walton like?" He's like, "Well, it's the same as anybody's relationship would be with somebody they've only known for 2 weeks. I don't know yet. Ask me later. And Luke Walton never had that buy-in from his best player. And so I look at Frank Vogel and LeBron. I mean, Frank Vogel needs LeBron's buy-in, but LeBron really needs Frank Vogel. There's only a few years left here.
Yep.
So I don't think LeBron can play that game again. I don't think he can do the whole, "Well, we'll wait and see," because there's really no replacing the coach this time. I mean, I know Jason Kidd's there. I know the coach killer reputation, but they've got to break this cycle. They've got to break this cycle and find something that is at least going to work, or that they're going to stick with, because as it is, they are just in the process of wasting, the final years of, one of the greatest players of all time, if not the greatest player. It's unbelievable.
Bill, I got like 30 seconds for you. Who do they think they're going to get?
I mean, I think they have a real shot at Kawhi and Kyrie. Those are the guys who I think that they feel like they have the best chance at swaying. I don't see Kawhi at all. I don't see how you could sit in a room with Steve Ballmer and what the Clippers organization has to offer, and the way they are structured, and then look at the Lakers and choose the purple and gold over what they're building across town. If he wants to come to LA, I mean, to me, the Clippers are just far and away the safer, smarter choice.
Bill Orem from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Bill Orem, O-R-A-M. What a day. Get back to writing. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The ever-steady Chris Broussard, who I thought ever-steady Chris Broussard, who is now in a Twitter beef with Kevin Durant. You don't really think that KD should have there should be an asterisk by the two championships with KD, should there?
No, I don't. Look, he was the finals MVP, and deservedly so, both years. He's obviously their best player. I've never said he was their most important player. I always thought that was Steph, but he is their best player. So I don't think you take away from the championships he won. However, it does, for those, and like I said, I've talked to players around the league, and Ennis Cantor said it on the record on our show, the Odd Couple, a few weeks ago, that players around the league nobody disrespects his game, but they do look at those championships kind of like, a lot of guys could have went there and got those, or anybody could have went there and got those. So for those that take that view, it can't help but diminish him a little bit. It doesn't mean he's not the best player in the world.
It actually does. Chris, it actually does. Here's what happened. End of the season, people were like, "Well, why is Kevin Durant like moving the ball so much?" And then the start of the Clippers series, they're like, "Why isn't he shooting more?" Then he's like, "Okay, fine, I'm Kevin Durant." And then he goes on a run like we had never seen. Right? It was like, charge up the Death Star, and I'm going to start blowing up planets." And that's exactly what he did. And he single-handedly carried them when Steph wasn't playing that well, and when Klay wasn't playing that well. And Draymond was playing well, but Draymond's not really a scorer, right? And they lost to Marcus Cousins. And all of a sudden, he's averaging 40 a night, shooting a good percentage. And then he tweaks his calf, and they survive a couple games with Houston, beat up on Portland, is not that good anyway. And they're like, he's not that good. I heard they play better without him.
It doesn't mean he's not a great player. I'll give you an example. I think if LeBron James had gone to Golden State 3 years ago instead of Kevin Durant, they will win championships just like they did with KD because their talent would be so overwhelming. But Steph and Klay would become glorified spot-up shooters. LeBron would have the ball most of the time, and they would play much differently. And if LeBron was in KD's shoes, got hurt, and they went back to playing like they are now, like they did before KD, or in this case, LeBron had joined them, people could be saying the same thing. You know, having played, it's not just about talent. It's about the chemistry, the trust, the system, the ball movement, player movement, and so on and so forth. And you can make an argument. I'm not saying definitively they're better without him, but it's up, it's on the table. All the numbers suggest they are. And if they go ahead and run through Milwaukee or whoever comes out of the East, then I think that's a legitimate discussion. If James Harden went there now, would they be better necessarily? They'd be more talented, but would they be better? Because Harden would take away from somebody else, KD's presence did.
I would. There's a bunch of different. There's a couple things. I think one of the things that people misunderstand is the team is constructed in a way in which it benefits Steph, right? That's a big thing. And I actually think KD helps that more than anybody realizes. Like, Steph is a point guard technically, but he's just as much the point guard as Draymond is, and just as much the point guard as KD is, right? Like, and honestly, Andre Iguodala can bring the ball up and is a pretty adept passer. He's not what the other three are, but he's a pretty good passer. The team's construction is built in a way in which it helps Steph.
I don't necessarily agree, because before, when Mark Jackson was coaching the team, Steph did play more like today's point guards and dominated the ball. His numbers were great, 24 yes. and 8.
And they didn't win anything.
But that's what happened is Steve Kerr put in the perfect offensive system for Steph and Klay and all, and Draymond for that matter. So I'm just saying, like, Steph could play like the rest of these point guards, and like you said, probably wouldn't win like he is now.
Well, look, some guys are great with the ball in their hands. Some guys are great moving without the basketball. He's this rare case where he's good with either, and he's unbelievable with either. But it allows them to have, because there have been games, NBA Finals games in the past 2 years, where he doesn't shoot the ball well. Western Conference Finals games where he doesn't shoot the ball well. Kevin Durant allows them to go through these ups and downs with Steph and survive that, which we're normally they would not. I guess here's the question. Does any of this change? First, does KD come back sooner than he would have because they're so successful without him, because of how people are talking?
No, I think actually this just gives him more patience. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't come back at all if they keep rolling. Like, if they sweep Portland and he came back before the finals started and they lose game one. Now, maybe they would have lost game one with or without KD. But if they lose it with him, then it becomes this huge, and not KD's fault, but it becomes this huge story of were they better without him? Do they need him? Did they disrupt the chemistry and so on and so forth? So if I were them, and that also puts KD in an awkward position, because it could look like he disrupted them when in actuality that may not be the case at all.
Right.
And he has nothing to get. You know, like, if he comes back and they sweep Portland, he comes back, he really doesn't have as much to gain, whereas you kind of let it play out. And if he's needed, you know, if they lose the first game, then he can come back and there's no negatives to it. There's no talk about they didn't need him, they're better without him, and all that. So I actually think it could give them more patience with him coming back.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That is the voice of Chris Broussard. All right, what do you think of what the Lakers did? First, let's start with what Magic did today. What was your reaction?
Well, look, I mean, you got to give him props, I guess, for speaking his mind. And I think he felt like, look, there's a lot of mystery out there. There are a lot of questions. and he cleared stuff up. Now, the timing, I don't think, was a coincidence, right? He knew Rob Pelinka was going to talk today, and so Magic preempted that. So you give him credit for that, but in Magic's talk, and I think he's sincere, I just think he may not have thought it through. You know, he wants to help the Lakers and recruit to the Lakers. This did not help them at all because it makes them look like the type of franchise you do not want to join. And obviously people were looking from the outside in, seeing all their dysfunction, but now it was confirmed by the face of the franchise forever, not just right now, but he's always been the face of the franchise since he joined them. So I think that that is a problem. And you know, Doug, these players today are a lot more sophisticated than in the past. They look at the organization's leadership, hierarchy, infrastructure, in considering whether or not they want to go there. Certainly their agents inform them of everything and advise them. And if a lot of these agents aren't fans of Rob Pelinka and they want to use that against them, look, this guy turned on Magic. How are you going to be able to trust him? You know, that could be a problem. So I think it makes it a little tougher on them to recruit.
I agree it makes them tougher to recruit. I would also point out, though, that you know, Magic, all Magic tried to do today was help Magic. And I don't think he actually helped Magic. I think he meant, you know, I was
really?
Like, no, I mean, if you...
See, I did feel like, and I want to hear your point, but I did feel like, you know, like when he left, everybody was like, Magic was the problem. He wasn't doing anything. But when he explains, I told Jeannie, look, I got these other businesses. Don't expect me in the office every day or every other day for that matter. And then he talks about how he wanted to get rid of Luke Walton, and you got Tim Harris involved. You know, obviously not a basketball guy. It makes it look like Magic wasn't as big of a problem as a lot of people thought, at least in my opinion.
I agree, but again, in an effort to save his – in an effort to give you the truth, here's the truth of what happened – you end up hurting the Lakers. You end up looking like a guy who's super insecure, right? Like, he admitted he wasn't in the building. He admitted he wasn't, essentially, wasn't working all that hard. He wanted to make all these decisions, but he didn't actually wanted to do the work to understand what the decisions were. I mean, that's just kind of the way you see it, right? Like, I mean, I understand that it irked him that Rob Pelinka was probably talking-ish behind his back. But you could also understand that Rob Pelinka is probably like, this guy gets to make the decisions. He's never here. How does he know what he's talking about? How does he know if Luke is or isn't a good coach? If he's never here, that's a problem. So the other point you made, which is the best one, which is like, if Magic really, really wanted to help the Lakers get players and revive their historical greatness, then what Magic should have done was say, you know what, I was the problem, I had to step away, they're great now. But by instead talking about all the dysfunction within the place, now anybody who didn't believe it knows it's true. Nobody gets along, and there's too many people that are not basketball people making decisions.
Yeah, that's undeniable. You're right. I mean, again, a sophisticated free agent is going to look at that. You know, the Clippers, one of their biggest selling points is their structure,
right?
Their leadership structure. I'd say the same thing about Brooklyn. The Knicks, even though they have a new front office, which I think is doing a good job.
They still got the owner.
You know, people, yeah, people looking at the owner. And, yep. I know players are considering that. So, yeah, I mean, it didn't help the Lakers at all. And, again, I don't think Magic thought it through. Maybe he did and just purposely, you know, threw the team under the bus. But I don't think he did that purposely. But to your point, that could be the end effect of it all.
Okay, so what is LeBron thinking? And then LeBron did a weird thing, right? Like, he shows up at this press conference, and he takes a couple of shots, doesn't answer any questions, doesn't give any support, just kind of there, just kind of a wallflower there. What does LeBron think of the hire and all this other nonsense?
Well, look, from all my talking to people, the bottom line is LeBron just wants to be in L.A. with the Lakers. At least, you know, I know, you know, a year or two ago when he was looking at where he might go, he just felt, you know, the Clippers brand wasn't a LeBron James brand, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you know what I mean.
Yep.
So if you're going to be in L.A., the place to be is with the Lakers. So he's not looking to leave for all, you know, all the reasons people know about. He's not looking to leave. So from what I'm told is his attitude is let's make the best of it. And I do think, and I've said this before, if he buys in, I mean, look who the Warriors are playing in the conference championship. You know, the Lakers could be that good, even if they don't make many moves in the offseason or get that big-name free agent.
Agreed.
So, and I do think he genuinely respects Frank Vogel. I'm told that from the battles that they had in, you know, Miami and Indiana when Vogel was the head coach. So I just think LeBron has to have the right attitude regardless of who the coach is. And I think if he does, especially if KD leaves Golden State, then I think they have to feel like they have a decent chance, a good chance to make a deep playoff run, if not more.
I took when Gail Benson corrected the Jackie McMullen report, actually said the Jackie McMullen report was wrong. I took that to mean Pelicans are open for business, right? Like, your Lakers will probably have to pay a little bit more to get him.
Right.
But I took it to mean that they're open for business to move Anthony Davis. That nothing has changed landing Zion Williamson, maybe even energized it more so to move him. Where do you think AD ends up?
Well, what I'm told is this, Doug, that, and I think we both understand, if the Lakers, if it's a tie between a Knicks offer and a Lakers offer or a Boston offer, whoever, they're sending him to the Eastern Conference. But I'm told that Alvin Gentry really likes the Lakers players. Lonzo Ball. He thinks Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Zion, Kuzma, Ingram, you know, a group like that could be not only good offensively, and we know that's his specialty, but also defensively in certain situations. So I think that's something to consider. But I think it all boils down to this. What do they think of R.J. Barrett? Because if you really like R.J. Barrett and you have the opportunity to pair him with Zion, a great friend, his roommate, you know, you got the whole Duke connections for a storyline, then I think that's going to be tough to beat. But the Lakers players are talented, and they did see one of them, Julius Randle, go there and have a great season or a good season. And let me throw this in, too, Doug. Brooklyn, I'm told, is really making a hard push for AD, or will if they can get Kyrie Irving to commit to them, you know, under the guys that AD goes there as well and will stay long term, then they'll try to get him. D'Angelo Russell, Jared Allen, some of their draft picks. They'll try to do it. I don't think they, you know, none of those players are as good as maybe an R.J. Barrett or as sexy as an R.J. Barrett is. Or maybe even the Lakers package. But Brooklyn is trying to get into this as well.
Awesome, awesome stuff. You think the Bucks win their series?
I do. I do. And I think they, if KD's not back, I think they give Golden State, they pose some problems. I still would pick Golden State. But it's interesting because you heard, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson on the broadcast say they think Milwaukee would be the definitive favorite over Golden State, and then there are those that think Golden State is the prohibitive favorite, even without KD, whoever they face in the East. So I think it's going to be interesting, but I do think Milwaukee wins this series. Now, if Toronto can solve Giannis, or, you know, I don't expect him to get 12 points, but if they make him struggle in getting maybe 18 or 19 points and win, then you might feel like, okay, they figured something out with Giannis. And I think you'd have to think they might have a good chance to win this series. But right now, yeah, I'm definitely thinking Milwaukee.
Chris Broussard, you can check him out on The Odd Couple, which starts an hour after our show. So 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, along with Rob Parker. It's an outstanding three-hour radio show. Check it out. Follow it on Twitter or at foxsportsradio.com as well. CB, thanks so much.
All right, Doug. Anytime.